Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another program about Fatima. We are still dealing and kind of stuck with these concepts that for me are important because they are the base for understanding these events at Fatima, not only the ones at Fatima, but also the ones at Guadalupe and Lourdes. Even the other ones, because I will, as I told you and will tell you more in detail, there are many other, so to say, apparitions. Some the church allows them, gives permission, but doesn't back completely them up. And so I spoke about, especially Medjugorje. I already told you about it. But this concept for me, these basic concepts are important. Like what I told you already before, the definition of faith as being a reasonable gift. It is a very interesting definition from the Vatican Council, the first Vatican Council, because it grabs two human dimensions, the heart and the reason. It grabs the heart because it is a gift. It is a gift. And what is a gift? Well, a gift is an expression of love. You give gifts and you receive gifts from the ones you love and the ones that love you. So a gift, it's an expression of this need that all human beings have to love and to be loved. But giving a gift is also a symbol that I give myself to you. As a matter of fact, love starts that way. You give a gift, and then you start. You continue giving, until you give up. You give up yourself to the other. So, what this has to do with faith? So, reason is reason, and I already told you the two concepts: rational and reasonable. So reasonable is credible, plausible, is common sense, so to say. Some people say that the common sense is the less common of the senses, but some people have it, many people have it. So rational is mathematics, is science. Reason is our reason used in human terms, in human situations, because mathematics are used in positive situations, but in human situations you don't use mathematics and physics and so forth. And when I mean humans, I mean in the field of relationships. So it is a reasonable gift. So it's reasonable because it's not irrational, but it's a gift. So how would I explain this faith as a reasonable gift? You go in as far as the reason can take you. in as far as the reason can take you. But you reach one point that the reason cannot take you further, and there you have to give in, and there is the part of the gift. So reasonable gift is like two stages. You use reason until where you can go, and then you reach a point that, well, the reason, you cannot stretch it further. Now you have to give in or not. So in that last part, there is a decision that you have to take now, and that decision is like a step in the darkness. The reason can reason everything about faith up to this point. Now, from this point on, it is up to you. Some decide to believe, and then they will see further. They will see further. More evidences will be given to them once they give that step. Others remain in this beach of the river, in this side of the river, and they don't cross it. So let us say reason takes you up to the river, and then it's up to you whether you cross it or not. If you cross it, then it is a leap of faith. So leap of faith, that's why it is a leap, because you have to give in, whether you go or you don't go. So that's what it is, reasonable gift. But, you know, I might probably tell you in other programs, we don't use faith only with God. We use faith with each other. I mean, just came to my mind, you know, these many accidents, airplane accidents happen because there was poor maintenance of the airplane. And the pilot, when he is piloting that airplane, how does he know that the maintenance was done and it was done accurately? He doesn't know. He believes that it was done accurately. So everything is a matter of faith in human relations, not a matter of science. There is lots of faith in human relations. So these concepts that we are dealing with, of course, with Fatima, with everything, you have to have in mind this concept, a leap of faith. The reason that can take you to a certain point, but then you have to believe, or you don't believe, you decide not to believe, you decide otherwise, and then and you can find all sorts of excuses and explanations. But faith has been always the same. Don't you think that when Jesus was on this land, that the ones that everybody believed because they saw? No, they saw and they had others interpretations. Look at what the Pharisees said. Well, this guy is expulsing the demons because he is a relative of the demons. He has something to do with the demons. So they were explaining it in another way. And there will always be room for you to get away with murder, so to say. There will be, because God respects your freedom. And if you want to come to God, there has to be, it's all reasonable, up to a certain point, and that certain point is your option. Some opt, some decide to go further and to give that step in the darkness, and some others decide not to do so. So it's your decision. And the Pharisees decided not to believe in all the evidences that they have seen about Jesus of Nazareth. And the apostles decided to believe of the same things that the Pharisees were seeing, the same eyes, the same, they are objective things. But of course, everything is in the interpretation that you give to what you see. Two people see an accident, a car accident, and if you ask them, they will give different interpretation of what it is objective. What objective is what a camera would take without interpretation. But if you ask two people that were there looking at it, they will give you different interpretations, of course. And of course, the ones that are the protagonists of the accident, each one gives the interpretation that is more convenient to them. Okay, so we are dealing with concepts, three concepts that we have talked about: vision and apparition, private revelations, public revelations. And I would add another one: revelation and religion. All these three concepts, these dual concepts, are somehow a synonym. They resemble each other. Private revelation, public revelation, as I told you, I told you already, so private revelations are many. These revelations, these three, Fatima, Lourdes and Guadalupe, they come within this chapter of private revelations. The public revelation is single, is only one. It's Jesus of Nazareth. And attached to this revelation, to help it to understand it in our time, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as Jesus said, does not tell you anything new. He only takes from what is mine and reinterprets it to you at the light of the situation and of the year you are living in. So that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes the gospel interactive. It is the Holy Spirit that makes these 2,000 years old word, or in as far as the Old Testament, 3,000 or 4,000 years old word, makes it new. It is the Holy Spirit that makes it a word of life, because from the same text, the Holy Spirit might inspire you different things in different situations and in different times. So, public revelation, private revelation, vision and apparition, I will tell you later, after a pause. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. So we were saying about private revelations, public revelations, and we add up with vision and apparition. Let me tell you, this vision and apparition is two movements. Apparition is from heaven to earth. Vision is from earth to heaven. So vision is also connected with the private revelations. Vision is connected with the extraordinary happening in the ordinary. Not everybody has visions. Why? Because there are conditions applied for you to have visions. You need to have a life of a spiritual life. You have to master material, the love for material, the affection for material goods and material things. So you have to lift up from this earth, and you do that with meditation, prayer, and fasting, and sacrifices, and then all these penance, all these ascesis, makes you, there is no mystic life without ascetic life. So the ones that practice these acts of ascesis, then they will probably have the beatific vision. Why is that? We call, remember, one of the Beatitudes, the pure of heart will see God. So only the pure of heart can see God. The others that are not pure of heart, and the heart is impure, is full of material affections and so forth, full of vices, they will never see God, because God is purity, God is pure. Only the ones that are also pure will see God. And so many saints have those visions because they have seen God. Now, remember what I told you to all the fools. The fools think that they have seen the Blessed Virgin Mary. There are other people that are unbalanced psychologically, and they claim that they have seen God, that they claim that they have had visions. But those are psychological diseases, like schizophrenia, that creates a reality for them that is not indeed a reality. And of course, if they are unbalanced psychologically, they haven't taken the way, and the way is the ascesis, the meditation, the fasting, the prayer, and so forth. So that's vision. Apparition. The vision is something that you can expect after all this process of purifying your heart. But apparition, you are not expecting it. An apparition happens to you. And it happens to good people, certainly. God chooses the ones. But look at St. Paul. St. Paul, he had somehow an apparition, and he was a good man in the heart, but at that time he was being a bad man. He was persecuting the church. Apparitions happen to people that are not expecting it. Let us say, the disciples of Emmaus, they were not expecting that Jesus would come on their way. As a matter of fact, well, all the apostles, they were not expecting that Jesus' revelation. Concerning to our apparitions, Jacinta, Francisco, Lucia in Fatima, Juan Diego in Guadalupe, and Bernadette Soubirous in Lourdes, they were not waiting that the Blessed Virgin Mary would appear to them. They were not counting on it. They were not bad people, but they were not really, really good either. When I'll tell you about Jacinta, she was not a good girl. She had her problems. She was very self-centered, for instance. They were praying the rosary, yes, but what sort of rosary they were praying? They would say, Hail Mary, Holy Mary. Hail Mary, Holy Mary. Well, that's, they wanted to finish the rosary very fast. They knew that they had to pray the rosary because probably their parents told them to. And they would go with the sheep and the goats to the fields, and then they would gather and pray the rosary. But, the fifth Hail Marys, they were eating them up, just saying, they were not saying the whole Hail Mary. They were just saying, Hail Mary, Holy Mary. One would say, Hail Mary, the other would say, Holy Mary. And that's it. So very fast they would pray the rosary, and then with the remaining time they would eat. They would eat and play themselves. So they were not bad people, but they were not holy people, so to say. But God has chosen them. God has chosen them. So that's the difference between apparition and vision. And now we come to revelation and religion. Well, it's again the same thing. Religions are all religions, but Christianity is not a religion. Let me tell you this. Christianity is a revelation. Judaism, where Christianity is somehow set up, the background of Christianity is, of course, the Jewish religion. But it was a craft. a graph, I guess, you know, when you put a graph of a plant in another plant. So Christianity is a graph in Judaism, is a graph in Judaism, Christianity. It is a revelation because it is from above. Again, religion is the movement from down the earth to up heaven. And revelation is the movement, the opposite movement, from heaven above down the earth. So why is Christianity a revelation? Well, because Christianity is about God becoming man, God becoming a human being, God coming to us. All religions is the opposite movement, is everything that people do to get the attraction of God, everything that people do to get the benefits, the graces from God. So they do prayers, they do liturgies, they do rituals, they do sacrifices, they do penances, they do fasting, everything. All this is religion. All these are religious practice. The objective is to get the grace of God, to get God's love, so to say, to get God's attention, to get God's favors and God's graces. So those are the objective of all these things that humans do. But revelation is not that. Revelation is not that. Revelation is all ill-free. It's nothing that you can do. It's nothing that you do. It's something that God does. It's the initiative is God. It's not you that you are asking for the plan. It was not a human plan. It's not humanity that is asking for God to become man. The plan, the idea, was entirely God's. It was God that thought of this plan of saving humanity, coming down, speaking to the heart of humanity from a human heart. So the Creator became a creature to speak to the creatures and to role model for them. Jesus of Nazareth is our role model in that way, is the human role model. So it's God living as human for us to see and to emulate, to imitate, and to be like Him, because the only access to God is Jesus. So all religions, you can quote the letter to the Hebrews. In many ways, God has spoken to human beings. All religions come under this sentence. But in the last time, He spoke through His Son. So, and that's revelation. And that is God's, it's God's doing. And that is the movement from up down. And that is Christianity. So Christianity is indeed a revelation. And the revelations appear to you. All the revelations we see in the Bible, look at the Moses. Moses, that bush was burning. That's for him a revelation. He was not expecting it. Why was it Moses? Well, because somehow he was both Egyptian and he was Jewish with Egyptian education, so he could deal with the matter better with the Pharaoh. He was chosen by God, not because he was the best of men, but he was chosen by God for a mission. You know, God chooses you, never for a privilege. That's the problem with the Jews nowadays, because they think that they were the chosen race, the chosen people, for a privilege. God never, you know, you don't see that in the Bible. Why do you get it? But I know people here in Toronto. I know people, Jewish people, that they think it that way, that God chosen them for a privilege, because God likes them that He likes them anybody else. But that's, where do they get that from the Bible? It's not there. God likes everybody, because everybody, all peoples are creatures of God. But of course, for a mission, yes, God chooses people, chooses individual people, individual persons, or a whole people like the Jewish for a mission. And what was the mission? The whole Jewish religion can be seen as, in this word, Bethlehem. The whole Jewish religion was the place where Jesus was to be born. Jesus coming to the Word of God, becoming man, would have to incarnate in a religion, he would have to incarnate in a people, and that's why they were chosen for that mission. The prophet Isaiah has it beautifully. All people come to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem goes the message to all people. It's like the movement of the heart. The blood comes to the heart, and then the blood goes out of the heart to all the cells of human body. So that's Revelation. And the revelation happens to people that are not expecting it. That's another thing. The apostles had the apostles, like the disciples of Emmaus. So what the disciples of Emmaus saying about that big prophet, then we were hoping that he was something more than a prophet. It's what all the other apostles were thinking. So resurrection happened to them unexpectedly. It was a surprise. So what is the difference between us today and the apostles? Well, our faith is apostolical. The apostles didn't need faith to believe in the resurrection. No. The apostles experienced the resurrection. But remember what Jesus said to St. Thomas, happy those that without seeing they will believe. They will believe in your word. So our faith is apostolical because we believe in the testimony, in the witnessing of the apostles. But the apostles were not expecting it. For the apostles, the resurrection had to be, so to say, material, had to be extraordinary. They had to touch it, the spiritual or the glorious body of Jesus. They had to touch it, they had to listen to it, they have to see it in order to believe that the Jesus that they have seen crucified was indeed alive.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.